So a hui of up to 50 surgeons and surgical trainees of Māori, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island descent will be congregating together this weekend at Mā Nukanuka or Hoturoa Marae near Auckland Airport to discuss how to increase the diversity and build the workforce of Indigenous surgeons. On the line with me today is the NAIDOC Person of the Year 2023, Professor Calvin Kong. Calvin, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for a lovely introduction.
Could you please go into further detail about what this conference is about?
Yeah, it's really about us getting together as Indigenous doctors and importantly Indigenous surgeons to try and work out a way forward for us to be involved in this space. That being the College of Surgeons, that were a very important aspect to try and break down the professional barriers, because we want to see more Indigenous surgeons within the college structure. We want to see more of our Indigenous people get involved in the specialty area, but also want to make sure that our fellowship is also brought along that way so that we can actually ensure that there is more and better health outcomes, surgical outcomes for our people.
So I was I did a bit of research on you, and I saw that you are the first Indigenous surgeon. Could you please describe what your pathways were to becoming a surgeon?
Yeah, I'd probably correct it a little bit there. Okay. In that there have been these things called nunkeries around in Australia for many, many thousands of years, and they're our traditional healers. And back in the day, they used to do some small minor surgical procedures, so I always like to acknowledge the work that they do and continue to do within our society, in our culture, and pay my respect to them. In terms of the journey for us, it's been quite hard then, obviously. It's somewhat embarrassing that it's taken us so long to get an identified surgeon within the college structure. And I guess it's kind of a little lucky in some aspects, but also being made possible by a lot of people who had belief in certainly me being a surgeon, but also the notion and the idea of how do we make sure that Indigenous people are better represented in this space.
What are the types of changes that you would like to see, especially inside the Australian pathways to help more Indigenous peoples in Australia become surgeons? What kind of changes would you like to see?
It's really hard, and I guess it's very similar in Aotearoa as well, in that the broader concept they were asking is that the old notion is, how do we just increase and get another Indigenous surgeon into the structure? The real question in what we're trying to elucidate is the nuance of what that takes. And we talk about how it takes a whole community to raise a little fella. And I think that's the same notion that we're looking at in the college. It's not just about identifying one person and saying, you're going to be a good fit to this. It's about how do we break down those barriers and also those structures that make the profession of surgery something that's attractive to our Indigenous mob coming through. And that includes so many different things that we may or may not necessarily think about the application process, about what we value and how do we actually put Indigenous knowledge into the value aspects of the college application process. How do we ensure that those who are less fortunate get the same kind of opportunities when these opportunities cost us a lot of money to get to? How do we make sure we get the right mentors in place? And having a non-Indigenous mentor is sometimes quite bad for our mob, but also when there are good ones, how do we actually bottle them up and make sure that we replicate them and enhance them so that they can actually help us? And particularly for the young ones coming through, I really encourage them to have non-Indigenous as well as Indigenous mentors, which is really important for us across the whole range of aspects. And so these kind of meetings are so exciting for me, because we talk about all those aspects of why there's those barriers that are being made there, what are those invisible barriers that we may not consider important, and how to actually, from the inside of the college structure, make sure that they actually open up for everyone. And the really nice thing about it is that there's not much opposition to this amongst our fellowship. A lot of people believe in this and believe in equity and believe in fairness, and that's something that we really want to try and enhance and really advocate strongly for. And at the end of the day, the bigger aim is, obviously we want to make sure that there's more Indigenous surgeons across both nations, but more importantly, how do we make sure that our surgical outcomes for our people, our communities, our elders, are the equivalent to our non-Indigenous counterparts, but more importantly, how do you make them world standard and the best in the world? Because, you know, I think it's always taught to me that if we get it right for our vulnerable population, we're going to get it right for everyone, and that's really cool.
Are there any other aspects of the upcoming weekend that you're looking forward to, like discussing with Māori practitioners over here, sort of discussing, I don't know, stuff like
that? That's really nice.
Stuff.
Yeah, I think it's really important for us. Obviously, the conversations we have are really important to make sure that we engage in that conversation quite thoroughly, and I think for most of us we're doing quite well in that space and understanding it. The other part is obviously chatting about things that are very similar across both countries, where we both have similarities around looking at the differences between why the health disparity is so poor, and that's really important. But the most important for me is just catching up with friends. It's quite funny because when you go to all of these meetings across the globe, you can almost just take out Maori or Pacifica or Aboriginal and just put in whatever country you're going to, because it's the same kind of issues that we deal with across our populations. And that's kind of saddening. And for those listeners, you know, whose grandparents and parents are sitting back thinking about the kind of things they went through, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to my children. And this is a really important step that we can make to make sure that our families are looked after as people. And one of my elders in my community, one of the best comments I love that she said was, "Kelvin, I don't want to tick a box that says I'm Aboriginal. I want to tick a box that says I'm human and treat me like one." And that really honed in on me, because that's the essence of what we're trying to say here. Why is it that we're treated differently? Why is it that we have these different health outcomes, when all we want is just equity and fairness and to be looked after so that we can smile and play with our grandkids? So that's a really important part of what we want to try and do. So catching up with all my friends here is just so, so nice. It's like a second home to me. And to walk in there, a room full of brown faces who are all surgeons or want to be aspiring surgeons, it's just so powerful, and it just gives me so much energy. And for your listeners out there, the feeling you get in there is that love is pushed throughout all of New Zealand and Australia, because we're here to actually really listen to how we're going to change and make a big difference and leave our footprint, not only tread very carefully, but make a very lasting impression that we can make a difference.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kelvin. This was an awesome interview. I would like to acknowledge not just yourself, but also your ancestors and your family back home in Australia, and all the other Aboriginal tribes and Torres Strait Islands peoples. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on the program. It's been such a pleasure.